Mitch put out the poll. It was actually just a, he's asking a comment. Comment below on this current Browns roster, name a player that will still be on the team by the time the Brook Park Dome opens up in 2029. Getting a lot of, I got Deshaun Watson. More on him coming up in a bit. Dollar Dog Nick said Joe Flacco. Got Rex Sinahara. John Kelly Jr. is a hell of a pool. Somebody needs to get a John Kelly Jr. Jersey. Got a few Mason Grahams. Got that. That's good. Deontay Johnson.
That's a good one. I like that.
He could be back.
Got a few. He also asked Shedeur Sanders, yes or no. Now he asked, will Kevin Stefanski still be the Browns coach in 2029? So far, 65% say no to the Shedeur Sanders thing in 2029. Late round pick. It sounds like you're besmirching Shedeur Sanders because
I think for
I have
me,
a theory about that coming up during the emerging podcast you. Scene. Yes.
Baker Mayfield.
Well, get out of here. What are you doing?
Just wants to get us talked about in Oklahoma again. That's all it is.
Half the responses were about Baker Mayfield. It was amazing. It was amazing. I go, guys. Trust me, he is a topic of conversation here, but I've drank away those memories long ago. 216-474-0092. I also want to ask him, we had a caller earlier, John and Wadsworth. And he's like, I don't know how younger, you guys keep making a big deal about younger guys. I don't know if younger guys are going to be able to afford these tickets. You know, talking about the ticket prices. And I got to tell you, with the new stadium, and this is something we've been kind of percolating on for a little bit, the demographic of season tickets are changing. Like, there was a time, I remember the home improvement episode, he got piston season tickets. Tim got piston season tickets. It had like the thing and the whole, and it was, I think, season tickets. It was a point of bragging. It was a point where you felt as if you were a part owner of the football team in so many ways. We've had so many people call in over the last 14 years who have said, you know, I've been a season ticket holder since when. You feel that you're more entitled to answers and results than the general fan. And as you in so many ways should, you're a season ticket holder. You've put the money where the mouth is. But I think now, more than we've ever seen, and I think that the climate is changing on this, season ticket holders are companies. Season ticket holders are groups. You know, people get it. I don't think it's like Bob Johnson, who lives in Maple Heights, is a season ticket holder of the Cleveland Browns. He's got four seats and 537 or whatever. I think it's less and less that anymore. I think it's more of a corporate thing, and I think more tickets are going to be sold. Hey, you want to go see him play the Green Bay Packers on September 29th? Okay, here's the price. Okay, are they good? Yeah, they're good. Okay, I'm going to go pay this price for him. Hey, the Browns are playing. Can I get him on the secondary market? We'll get him on the secondary market. I think it's more going to be that. I think it's that way with all the sports, too. I think you're finding less season ticket holders who are just general fans and more corporations. I don't know if season tickets are the type of thing that we've made them out to be our entire lives. I think guys our age got to get used to that.
Well, it's not just the season tickets. It's then the PSL that comes along with it. So it's not just the exorbitant expense of the
tickets.
And people
make a big deal about the PSL, and I go, I think that, you know, I want to look at what Buffalo's is. I want to know how many are Ken Carmen Towing that owns these PSLs in Buffalo, New York, or Ken Carmen Auto in Cleveland, Ohio, that owns the four for the PSL or whatever it is. I think you're going to find more corporations that own the PSLs for their tickets, for their seats, more corporate partnerships. But I think that there will be general people who are regular Browns fans, and they might have Browns season tickets in this stadium, or they had them in the municipal stadium, and they've been kind of kicking around whether or not they're in, and I think that those will be snapped right up by corporations in the future. And I think that those people who still want to go and watch Browns football will still get their single game tickets to watch Browns football. I don't know if, I just don't think that season tickets are the as end all be all as they used to be. Like, there's always a time. I think every sports fan, every guy thinks about a season ticket package at some sort in their life. If you're a sports fan, you have to think about season tickets. I thought about season tickets, all three teams at one point, all three teams. And back when you couldn't afford them. So I think that every guy thinks of them, and now
somebody's got to be buying the tickets, right?
Yeah, and I think that it
can't just all be corporations.
It's not all corporations. You'll still have your families who are season ticket holders. But I think that you will have a lot of people who are business owners who may just have them in their own name. So they can pass him down or something like that. I think it's going to be just a different person. I think the guy that has two kids who are in middle school and this is his thing and he takes his two kids with him to the games, I don't think that that's going to be as much as it is anymore. And I think it's going to be the same way when Kansas City opens their new stadium someday, when the same thing when Washington opens up their new stadium someday in Chicago. The general Washington, Chicago, Kansas City fan is going to be the same way. It's going to be more business owners.
Do you think, Kenny, then, that would, if that were the case, and that season tickets become basically unaffordable for most, if people are, we had a caller earlier say the tickets are going to double. Okay, I don't know where they pulled that from, maybe just made it up. But if you add that to the cost of PSLs, could you see a scenario where all these venues are empty when the teams are not good? Like,
yeah,
totally empty?
They're empty when the teams aren't good anyway.
They're not empty to the level that we would be talking about if they doubled, if the price was
doubled. Well, if you're saying to me, because I'm still under the belief, and maybe I'll be wrong, I'm still under belief that the secondary market will still be that in 2029 and beyond. So say you get to a point where the newness wears off. So you get to 2034. Stadium's been around for 5 years. If the Browns are lousy, you will still have people coming home from college during Christmas or wherever during Christmas, taking Christmas holiday, and they're going to look at StubHub or God knows what, and they're going to see, all right, tickets to 537 are, hey, we can get in for $18 this weekend. You guys want to go for $18? Yeah, we'll go see the Browns for $18. We'll see who this guy is for. They're playing so-and-so. So maybe you want to go see Patrick Mahomes from the Kansas City Chiefs against the Cleveland Browns. He'll still be playing in 2033 or whatever, 34, whatever it is. Yeah, we can go see Patrick Mahomes for $18. It'll still be that way. Or vice versa, if the Chiefs ever start sucking up the room again, which won't be anytime soon, but if they do, it'll still be the same way. I think it'll still be a secondary market where they'll sell them for whatever they can, get whatever they can back on them, and that'll be it. And I'm sure it'll be the same thing when people buy the PSLs and they put their season tickets up, where they, hey, I'm going to sell two season tickets for single game reasons here today. And people buy them for whatever price. Or if the Browns are really, really good at the end of the year and you're paying, if the tickets were originally $400 a seat,
like we have,
you're going to pay $800
a seat. For years, we had heard that there was a waiting list for season tickets. Okay, I've heard that is not the case anymore. But we've heard that for years, no matter how bad the Browns were, there was a waiting list for season tickets. You're saying that the future of this is, not only will it not be a waiting list anymore, it'll be a, hey, if the team is good, you can still be able to buy tickets, you know, the season of, the game of, the week of. Like, we're going away from that model completely.
I think season tickets, I don't know if we're going away from that model. There will definitely always be guys, like my buddy Josh back home, who will do everything he can to buy season. He may sit up in the nosebleed of nosebleeds. I don't know if they have really have a nosebleed seat in the new stadium from the renderings I've seen, but he will sit in the nosebleed of nosebleeds to have a season ticket. And there will be a few guys like him. But I think it'll be more like, hey, I'm Ken. I own a series of car washes. And I'm going to get these season tickets, and maybe I'll use them, maybe I'll give them out. And maybe I don't want to pay for a loge or a suite, or maybe I don't want to pay for these seats or that seats, but we'll take these seats, and it's a decent enough expense, lower bowl, and that's fine. And you know what? I use them, and then sometimes I don't. And then sometimes I put them up for sale. I think you'll see more. I think we've already seen more of that in all three sports, and I especially think we're going to see it in the NFL because ticket prices are through the roof anyway. You have less dates. You have more people. It's the biggest thing going in the NFL. It's a thing that everybody claims that they know. Everybody claims to be a football guy. So people want to see it. They want to be a part of it, especially if the team's good. So I just think that you will have a time very soon where it just becomes more corporate season tickets. This is owned by me, which I own a company, or it's owned by my company, and I put it in the company name for whatever reason. And there will be more, again, there will be, I think, I'm surprised there's 65,000 seats. I mean, you look at the place in Tennessee, that looks like more of a gathering place than it is a stadium. I mean, you see some of the open spaces that they have, it just looks like a place for people to sit around, and there happens to be a game going on out in front of them. Back to the phones. Eddie and Paramount, you're next up on the Fan. Hello, Eddie.
Hey, Ken, how are you?
Doing well. Go ahead.
Hey, the problem, I think, with that logic is there's no secondary market if people don't initially buy the PSLs and buy the tickets. There can't be a secondary market.
No, there can't be, but I do think that there will be plenty of I worry about it. I shouldn't say plenty, but I think that there will be organizations that buy those PSLs. But I got it. You know what I got to do, Eddie? I do have to look in to see who's actually going to be buying the ones in Buffalo. They're going to start that. They're going to open up that stadium in 2026. So I have to see who might be owning the PSLs. I don't know if that's public knowledge or anything, but I have to go and do some snooping around and see who actually owns the PSLs over there, because that'd be the litmus test.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll tell you this, Eddie. Thank you very much for the call. It's all speculation. I speculate on it, but I think that's where it's going. That's why, like Buffalo, I remember Daryl a couple years ago. Daryl's been all over this stuff. Daryl called us up freaking out. Remember? You remember that. How are you going to build a stadium? We can't afford it. How are you going to sell seats in that stadium? You can't afford it. Okay, well, if we can't afford it, I don't know what Buffalo's doing. No offense to the fine folks in Buffalo. But I would feel that Buffalo's probably close to the same situation we are. Kind of living all in the same neighborhood, are we not? So I assume that Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Columbus is a different area, and I have a whole thing about that. We ain't going to do that right now. But I think that those, Detroit, Indianapolis, I think you're kind of all in the same boat. Buffalo seems to have no sweat getting PSLs. Why? We have a huge metro. We have a bigger metro than Buffalo, New York, do we not? Okay, so I imagine we have more people who are of means than in Buffalo.
Way more competition for the sports dollar here, though.
That is also true.
Is this going to come, if people all pony up for the Browns, does it come at the expense of the Cavs and the Guardians? You know,
that's probably been part of the fight that has been thrown in there, because again, you have another major billionaire in this town that is making a big investment in the area. He's got a 200 some odd thousand square foot facility that's going up along the river. He's got a new WNBA team that's coming here, and now you're going to have competition out there. He can't be thrilled about that.
The other thing is, the Bills could not have been a better time for them to ask their citizens for money because of Josh Allen.
True.
Right?
True.
Like, we don't have our Josh Allen yet.
If we get our Josh Allen, do you think there's going to be a problem?
No. I think they could name their price that point.
Like, does PSLs, do you only offer PSLs for the first year? Or is it still like, hey, if you want to get in here in 2033, you still need to buy a PSL? All right, well, if we find our Josh Allen, there's definitely going to be corporations who are willing to do it, because they're going to want to entertain people. And there's going to be business owners who are hardcore Browns fans. They're going to want to entertain themselves. So I look at Buffalo, and they just don't sweat it at all. So what are we missing? What you just said is right. There is much stiffer competition here than in Buffalo, New York, for the sports dollar. Malik Beasley is under investigation by the feds. There is high crimes that are being accused by some folks out there, Malik Beasley, where now they put, what, his extension on hold with the Detroit Pistons.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Negotiations with other teams.
They already spent his money. I mean, they spent the money that they were probably going, because Malik Beasley had an incredible year.
Yeah, he did.
They had money coming in from other places.
This was thrown at Scary Terry Rozier earlier this year, which he was basically exonerated, and it was like, great! And then everybody's like, that means he sucked this year.
Yeah, and then they refused to play him. Oh, even in the playoffs, God, where they got manhandled by the Cavs, they refused to play him.
You got to feel bad about that. It's like, yeah, I didn't do anything terrible. Yeah, it still means you just suck on, like, you don't even suck on purpose. You're just naturally terrible. If we got to stop this, because, you know, you go back to the Calvin Ridley stuff and some of the other things thrown in there. So, you know, the conversations being thrown out there about Malik Beasley. And I was one of the people that participated on Sunday. It was a boring day on social media. And, you know, I threw out one of the pictures that you and I have when Malik Beasley threw out the tweet about getting 7 threes tonight and things like that. And I had some responses saying, you know, this is going to do damage to the league. This is what happens when you legalize gambling. And I thought, okay, these are valid statements that I respect. But I also have to look at it and say, we're not going back. There's a new money way that's just pouring into these leagues. There's a new revenue stream that's pouring in. You're not going to go the other way. I'm going to get back to the stadium here in a bit. I want to get this off my chest, because I want to see if Lima will go with me. He'll probably fight me on this, because I know there's definitely holes that can be punched in this. I think to stop any of it, we're going to have to do some SMU type of stuff. You're going to have to say, you are done, your career is over if you participate in this. Not only do you participate in this, I want this in the CBA, and this is going to be difficult because you can't just willy-nilly these things. You can be fined an exorbitant sum. Like, we're talking millions of dollars. And have this be something that ties you up for years to come. Like, banished from the league type of stuff. How old is Malik Beasley?
28.
So if Malik Beasley, I don't mean to do you. I'm assuming mid to late 20s Malik Beasley is. You say if you're found guilty of this stuff, like, we'll go to court. And there's an appeals process, I'm sure. But if you're found guilty of this stuff, don't care who you are, you're done. Because you just can't have this. You can't impugn whatever legitimacy the league has. There's always going to be people who think that sports are rigged and sports are fixed and it's all just something there for gamblers. You can't stop that. But you can't allow the possibility of public opinion to be influenced that heavily to the point where there's everyday players that you wonder, did you have a bad night or something going on here? Because like a guy like Malik Beasley, he's been playing basketball all his life. And Lima, you've been in enough locker rooms and I've been in enough locker rooms. These guys play cards. You can bring up Javaris Crittenden and Gilbert Arenas all you want. The guys play cards. They play Tonk. They gamble on everything, for crying out loud. I mean, part of the Jordan documentary was him and the security guard throwing coins at the wall, for crying out loud. You think Michael didn't have any action on that? It was a different time. So if we're going to open this up and have legalized sports gambling, which you can't turn down that amount of money. As a state, you don't want to turn down that revenue stream when it comes to taxes. Well, then you're gonna have to make a damaging penalty and so frankly ruin lives to make sure that this doesn't get done. This doesn't get out of control.
I am with you, Ken. If we ever have a scenario that, you know, like the Tim Donaghy situation, like we had stuff like that, it was dealt with, and it kind of changed the entire course of how the NBA and the other sports handle their officials.
Mm-hmm.
How even much more so they professionalized, you know, their entire culture of officiating, because they never wanted to be caught. They knew, the NBA knew, if it had more and more of those allegations, then the NBA was going to be cooked, because people, gambling was going to have to be a big part of the sport. That was before they even got in bed with the gambling sites.
Yeah.
I'd be with you if we had real scandal. I just don't think this is real scandal. You know, I'm seeing highlights of Malik Beasley rip the ball out of the net with 5 seconds left, go coast to coast to cover a point spread. That to me is not what we're talking about, not what we're worried about. That to me is, yeah, all these players know what the line is, right? They also, all these players know what the prop bet is on their assists. You know how they know them? Because the fans in the front row are yelling, I need another assist. Okay, so if Malik Beasley rips the ball out of the net and passes to a trailing shooter who hits a three that's irrelevant to everybody else, and then Malik Beasley looks back at that fan and is like, hey, I got you your assist. We want to blackball him from the NBA for that? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think those are major transgressions.
No.
If you had, now put it another way, because I think some of this self-corrects. If Malik Beasley is, or any of these players, if they are continuously not getting rebounds and not getting assists and fouling out of games early so that they don't hit their props at a certain number, isn't that self-correcting? Won't those players just be benched? Like, they're not helping their team win anymore.
Yes, it is.
So I don't know that this has risen. In fact, I'll just say, this to me has not gotten to the situation where I think people are going to be done betting on. First of all, the people betting on prop bets, they're mostly just having fun with them. Like, I remember I ran to make my first wager since any of this was legal when they had the Caesars or whatever over at the arena.
Mm-hmm.
I went down there and bet on who's going to score first. I bet $30 and the bet was over 2 seconds into the game and I lost it. And I'm like, all right, oh, that was fun for 10 seconds. And that was it. Like, if I found out that they had figured out, or the players had figured out how to truly capitalize on that bet, like, you know who's going to be on them the first? The NBA, because they have all their systems in place to make sure to red flag any kind of a wager. I think most of this is self-correcting. So I don't think we're nearly near the scandal phase of this.
I don't think we're near the scandal phase of it yet. I don't think we're of it yet. I mean, Malik Beasley, he's not a big enough name. Terry Rozier is not a big enough name. At some point, you're going to have a big enough name. I mean, good God, again, Michael was one of the big names ever mentioned. You can't prove anything, and I'm not going to try to prove anything against Michael Jordan, of all things, for crying out loud. It's all rumor and hearsay, but it's been going on for 30-plus years. But I think that you're trying to protect the league, and there's certain things that when you get the privilege of playing professional sports, there's certain things that you give up. And I think that gambling has to be one of them. I'm not talking about him going out there. You're right. If you go out there and you just start fouling out, like that'll be a course correction. But also, I think that somebody's paying you a salary and they feel that they're not getting their very best because you're doing things because of gambling. So they can take a bite out of you because of that. But and that's an owner of a league. That's one of the owners in the league that can vote on these sort of things to protect whatever sanctity there is. And I think that there's probably different words to be used to protect whatever it is. I'm thinking of a career death penalty. And I think as of where they are in the major sports, you just can't gamble. You cannot gamble. And if you play 15 years in the NBA, you ain't gambling for 15 years. If they find out that you're gambling for 15 years, there's harsh penalties, at least on your sport, on basketball in general, high school games. I mean, I don't care because you don't want any of this. There's too much money at stake. There's too many lives that are at stake when it comes to their incomes and people making money on the game. My God. So if you can't, you got to prove it. I mean, everything's got to be proved. I can't just assume and say Malik Beasley or God knows who should be out of the league. That's ridiculous. Like, there should be a hearing and appeals, but I think that we're going down a weird path here.
But I'll tell you,
where it's
Kenny,
just a matter of time before a noticeable name, a name that does make us pause, kind of makes us have this conversation, not just in the month of July in sports talk radio.
So Jontay Porter was banned from the NBA for violating the league's gaming rules.
Not nearly a big enough game.
And it wasn't. I think the key here is, and I said it at the time, is that the NBA uncovered it. Like, these guys aren't really able to get away with it to the level that it would matter because it triggers all of their systems. So this was
what college baseball, so, for crying out
right,
loud.
Yeah. So this is why it was important. We always knew there was going to be gambling on this stuff and that players were taking part in it. You just had to prove it. Now they're getting so much better. It's like we have the surveillance cameras. And I mean that figuratively, but it's really tough. It's getting tougher and tougher to get away with any types of crimes. And now that the NBA is in bed with the gambling, it's actually work to enable them to be able to, you know, to snuff this out that much faster.
Do you not believe, though, that the public threat, and I don't want to have to, these things are tough because this is done in life at all times. There's always a canary in a coal mine or somebody's made an example of in everything. I don't want it to come to that. But do you not think that the threat of career banishment, of heavy fines, those type of things, that wouldn't curtail gambling in the league?
You're talking like big time, imposing big time.
Yes, imposing penalties. I mean, a career death penalty is time. Well, if you cannot play at this, you can go play in Europe all you want, buddy. But
isn't that kind of, I mean, Jontay Porter got banned from the NBA. Isn't that already there?
But again, I'm bringing up, like, is that a known thing? Like, you know you can't get banned, but if they come out and they say heavy-handedly, if we catch you gambling, let's just leave it as NBA players. If we catch you gambling on the NBA, it's career death penalty. You're done. You are done for, it doesn't matter if you're Jontay Porter or you're LeBron James, fat chance, but it doesn't matter. You don't think that would curtail anything?
I think it, yeah.
Does it help provide, and you're the best at arguing that I know, so I know I'm walking into something here. Does it help provide peace of mind for the consumer at all?
So
it help provide peace of mind for the person clearly, consuming the product, buying the product every night?
Clearly, the consumer, based on what we know about what these states are bringing in gambling, clearly the consumer does believe this stuff is on the up and up. Like, they don't believe it's risen to the point where not only am I I'm not going to watch it, I'm going to stop gambling on it. What people do you know, like my degenerate friends, I'm trying to think of what it would take for them to stop gambling on any of these sports. There's always shady things that happen. Like in the NFL, you'll see it every Sunday. Like, what happened here? Why is this team still throwing the football? Whoa, the over-under. Hey, Al Michaels keeps bringing up the over-under and keeps bringing up the total. And you know how many of my friends stopped gambling based on any of that?
None.
Zero.
But they're the ones that are already hooked. They're already going to do it. So you and I have are basically the last of anybody that I would know, unless you have a secret life and you've told me almost everything, but you haven't told me everything, for crying out loud. And I like that about you. I like still having some mystery with you. This show's maybe the only show in sports talk radio that doesn't gamble. We just don't. I never really had an interest in it. You don't really have it. I don't have a problem with anybody else gambling, but I've never had an interest in it.
The biggest gamble Ken ever had was trusting me to do a radio show with him, given my past life.
And you and I being in sports talk radio know plenty of degenerates. Plenty of them. I'm not even talking about them. I assume that they do it. They like the action. They're going to be addicted to the action. They love it. And I think that at least my degenerate friends, they just think it's on everything shady anyway. So what are you stopping? I'm talking about new users, new possible consumers of both sports and gambling who might not like it and get in on both. Because you can't tell. I mean, how many times do we get calls on a Browns Monday after a game? You think the fix was in, Ken? You think the fix was in, Tone? Why did he short arm that? Why did that penalty get thrown there? It's a conspiracy all the way around. And I'm thinking about, it's not about morals. They're grown men. Ultimately, they can do as they please. And it's legal just about anywhere. So, yeah, man, if you want to put it. But I'm talking about for the good of the sports, where it just protects, not the good of the sports, the good of the NBA, the big things, and not baseball in general, but in Major League Baseball. Does it or does it not help protect and provide some peace of mind to the people that go out and consume the product, that watch the game, that pay for the tickets, that pay for the beverages, that pay for the media to watch the games in all four of the major sports that we talk about? I think that it does provide some peace of mind. And there's definitely faulty logic to it. And I think that you can create a system where if you have enough guys who are still gambling, you can make yourself a backlog of it. But that's another part of the problem. Okay, you can go ahead and gamble. If you play for the Cleveland Cavaliers, you can go ahead and gamble on the NBA. But if we catch you, yeah, we're going to throw you out of the league, and you can have your appeals process. But while you have your appeals process, you're not going to be playing in the NBA because you have, again, violated the trust of the people watching the game, which means you violated the trust of the customer, and the customer is always right. So if you've done that, we can't allow you back on the court. I can tie this thing up in litigation for years. I got lawyers falling out of my armpits. What do you have as a player? All you're doing is wasting time of your prime athletic years. So we can tie each other up in court for three seasons. Oh, and then again, remember, it's an owner's league, so they can decide who they sign and who they don't. If you throw that type of threat at the players in any of the leagues, I think you'll get there will always be dummies. But I think you'll have some guys, and it provides some peace of mind. This is not a moral argument. Don't get this mixed into a moral argument.
I'm with you. Everything you just said, I've just always wondered what percentage of people that are active gamblers, what percentage of them think the sport right now is at 100% up and up? Any of the sports? I would say zero. I would say they probably all think there are some shady guys, the Jontay Porters of the world, who are doing things, but they're going to gamble with the knowledge that that's the case and still try to, you know,
but that's the reason why I can't say anything other than, oh, you said beat the books.
Yeah,
nice.
I did.
I'll finish it up with this. It's the only reason I say if you get caught gambling, because how the hell am I supposed to know if you just say, hey, Lima was 3 of 11 from threes last night, where he's usually 6 of 11 from three. How do I prove that? How do I prove it?
Does that explain Max Strus's game 5?
You want to, please, if you can.
He didn't hit one shot.
Reckless speculation.
I finally came around on Max Strus, and that's what he does to me in the final game.
It was the text. I'm telling you, it was the text. Dude, when you're a role player and you're sending texts like that to everybody, you know there were some guys going, you better show up tonight. And he tried to show up, and it's like, oh, yeah, I forgot. I'm a role player. I'm not Donovan. Yeah, only so many guys can have that pressure, buddy, and you ain't one of them. Fandom's changing big time. We'll talk about it in the podcast, the emerging podcast scene, 10:15 Eastern on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app. You are getting the first, you really got the first taste of it in 2018, you got your first taste of it. It ain't changing anytime soon. And I will discuss that with Tone during the emerging podcast scene. I also have my top 50 movie list that I want to watch with my sons before they graduate high school, and we're never going to get to that.
Is so the Running Man the on that? Because I guess
there's
a new Running Man.
Running Man is
there's
not
a
on.
New trailer. I had to bookmark it right after the show. I'm going to watch it. I'm excited.
And we're not going to spend the last segment of the show, you guys just guessing. But take a guess at what movie. If it's on the list.
Cabin Fever.
Cabin Fever, not. Owen? I'm going to do it until one of you get it right.
Flowers in the Attic.
It is not on there. Lima.
Human Centipede.
No. Mitch.
Mitch's mic is not set up for him.
Yeah, who saw that one coming? Owen.
That was my fault. It's my turn already?
Yeah, go.
On Golden Pond.
I'm going to keep it going until you guys pick one that's on the list. Go.
8mm.
No.
Mitch is ready now.
Mitch. Mitch is not speaking.
Mitch is now not participating.
Okay. That's always a way to get yourself more airtime. Owen.
Fast Five.
No, you.
Naked Gun, 3 1/3.
I will do the whole effing segment this way until you guys get it right. Pick one that's on there. There's 50-plus movies on this list.
I got one. Should be on there. Lawrence of Arabia.
No, go.
Actually, the Ten Commandments.
I think the Ten Commandments are on here.
It better be, or Judah Ben-Hur.
Ben-Hur is on the list.
Yes!
Ben-Hur is on the list. I watched Ben-Hur with my grandma. And I was like, why are they rowing? What's going on here? And grandma's like, shut the bleep up. This is a good part. And I go, okay, grandma. Go get my cigarettes. 216-474-0092.
Ooh, Harley Davidson and the Marlboro.
I think you're upset to hear it. But remember, guys, there's a reason you're hearing it. It's because they have to say it. New York Post put out the article that Shador has been... Deshaun has taken Shador under his wing, and the responses were magnificent.
It's good to see, right? You got a lot of those responses. Yeah. It was nice to see somebody who's been through the NFL, has had the ups and the downs, be able to take someone under their wing, because who better to serve as a mentor in a situation like that? A cautionary tale, so to speak.
Well, actually, I do think there's something he could teach him, but... I mean, about what the NFL does. I mean, you and I went through that whole thing for 3 years, and it's like, well, wait a minute. Was he put in these positions by certain people who now all of a sudden brag about what they got going on down there? Don't think I didn't see the role that that team, and those files, don't think we all didn't see the role that that organization had in all that stuff. So I think there is something there that could be educational. But, guys, you're going to hear a lot of stuff. I really don't think he's going to play this year. But if he does play that, you know that the wheels have come tremendously off. He is represented by the most powerful man in the NFL, arguably in sports. You're not going to sit there and say a bunch of nasty things as his employer, because if he ends up never playing in the NFL again, I think that's grounds for a lawsuit more than likely. Oof. And Deshaun Watson, he has to go through every single hoop that he has to jump through to make sure that he gets every penny that's entitled to him. And he is entitled to every single penny. Whatever money he's got coming to him, he deserves it. Go ahead and give it to him. You sign him to the deal, that's the way it goes. So these two sides have to keep saying nice things about each other. And I'm sure he's not disliked in the locker room. I'm sure he's not disliked by the guys in the quarterback room. So until he's officially no longer a Cleveland Brown, you're going to keep hearing those sort of things. I just don't believe he's going to play at all. But every time there's any sort of a story that comes out, like we'll talk to Mary Kay on Thursday, and we'll ask him about it, and any sort of story that comes out, we're going to hear the groans, because they have to be nice to each other. No matter what, it's a legal document here, because he's as much as it may bother some people, he is in good standing in the league, is he not? If he was physically able to play, he could play week one if he wanted to. There is nothing stopping him with the NFL. And so you can't, if he's going and doing everything he's supposed to do as a player, and he is, you can't go rip at him as an organization. You can't do that. Let me get to Jeremy in Akron. I got a lot of responses about the PSLs and everything with the season tickets, and are they still a big deal now that we're getting a new stadium? Jeremy, go!
What's up, guys? Hey, this is exactly where having poor leadership in Summit County and Cleveland, they dropped the ball on this. Because if they were smart and didn't decide to fight a losing battle from the beginning and trying to show that they were tough guys to stand up to the billionaire, they would have said, all right, we'll get on board, but we have some stipulations. We want you to take care of the fans. We want you to limit things like PSLs. We want you to limit price. We want, you know, price-protected seats so the regular fan can go. But now that stuff's all gone. Because they decided to try to be tough guys and show Cleveland all how they're going to stand up to the big, bad, rich guy. So now there's no room for any of this negotiation. And this isn't something that hasn't happened. When they built the Pontiac Silverdome, they used government money, and that's exactly what they did. They made certain lower-level seats capped at $15 for the regular fan to go to the game.
So, Jeremy, yeah, I understand that. In a perfect world, that would have been amazing. And certainly you wouldn't expect that to come from Brook Park because they're going to do anything they can to get the stadium. So you wouldn't expect their mayor to fight for that.
Right. So Cuyahoga County jumps in and says, all right, we see what's going on here. We know we can't win this. Let's get together, work. We'll get you some money, but you need to do this to protect the fans and the regular people. That's the job they could have done. Now, they either don't have the intelligence, foresight, maybe it's that. Maybe they just didn't think of that. But I just think that's something they should have done as leaders is, you know what, they bought the land. It's going to happen. They're moving 9 miles down the road. Don't pretend like they're moving to another state and try to enact the Motel Law, all this stuff. Instead, they tried to be the tough guy, and this is what happens. Now, that all being said, I have a pretty good source pretty high up in the Browns organization that says that they have not decided on PSLs, especially not for regular seats, and there will be options available for season ticket holders without PSLs. Now, obviously, that's all subject to change.
From your lips to God's ears, Jeremy.
So they also sent out, and that's the thing, sources. I know some guys cherry picked the they sent out, you know, I am a season ticket holder. Congratulations on all my success.
Yeah. Congratulations.
But they Stamp sent out, patio. They I've seen that. It.
Yeah, it's true.
They sent out a fan survey. And some guys cherry picked, you know, some of the big accounts on Twitter cherry picked the high end ones. But there were affordable tickets. You know, there was affordable.
Jeremy, more importantly, what's Murkowski going to do today?
Okay, that's enough. Goodbye, Jeremy.
Let's come
Thank
on,
you
I want to hear.
We're not doing that.
We'll just carry it on Twitter.
I knew Jeremy in Akron was doing well. I didn't know he was doing Stamp Patio.
Yeah. Hello.
I did not know that. Congratulations again on all your success.
Is that something we need to bring to the podcast?
What?
Once you get Stamp Patio, is that the official sign?
Yeah, that's a different level. Yeah, you're better than anybody else in the neighborhood. You got Stamp Patio. But usually if you're living in a neighborhood like that, everybody has Stamp Patios. Where can you get a Stamp Patio taken care of for you with all the great trimmings that you could want with 0% financing until 2027? Extend Technologies. And they present the emerging podcast scene on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the Free Odyssey app coming up at 10:15 a.m. Eastern. Big thanks to Nick Barlage, CEO, Rock Entertainment, Cleveland Cavaliers. They're doing well. I bet Nick has a Stamp Patio. Bet he's got one. We're back tomorrow, 6 to 10, for Big Country, for Jeff, for Mitch, for the slippery wizard, Anthony Lima. I'm Ken Carman. Have a wonderful day, my friend.